Good morning, everyone. So, I was told I needed a box to stand on, so I might just do this instead so y'all can see me. So on this side, I'll come back over here in a little while. I forgot who it was that told me I needed to tippy-toe higher or something this morning, but thanks. All right, so what I want to share with you before we actually get into the sermons between now through Wednesday night is, I think, some preface information because, well, many of you may not know who I am. I've actually been in and out of Athens preaching for about 30 years. And so I wanted to introduce myself from that standpoint. My name is Mitch Davis. I'm married to Julie Lambert. You'll know Tim and Debbie used to be members here. And Bill and Margie Lambert, my in-laws, Bill used to preach here on a number of occasions, I guess at the older building site. And by way of that introduction, I want to say that I'm not going to be your typical preacher from the standpoint that I was not raised in the church. I was raised on the island of Maui. Did not know who Jesus was until the day I became a Christian. Now, to give you some context to that, growing up on the island of Maui, if you've ever been there and gone to Front Street in Lahaina, there was a place that I thought was a movie theater because on the top of the building was a marquee that says, Jesus coming soon. I thought, who goes to see this movie? Because the theater must be condemned. It's been there for years. Fast forward to May 28, 1989, and there's a family that let me and my roommate stay in their home the night before because I was working with the Southwestern Book Company and our first order of business is to find a place to live. And they felt sorry for us, not wanting us to be homeless that night, kept us in their home, invited us to a church service. And so I heard the gospel message for the first time that Sunday morning on May 28th. And I remember, and I say this in jest so that you get it context once again. I see my daughter and my son-in-law here, so they've heard this story before, but I remember after hearing the invitation, and by the way, I thought the preacher did a terrible job because he was condemning everyone to hell, it seemed like, as far as this Gentile was concerned. I thought, man, that's just not a way to keep people. But then he turned his attention to me, and I realized I was lost in sin. Now, mind you, my life was full of sin. Without going into detail with children here, you name it, I did it other than murder. Other than robbing banks and stuff like that. I did it. That was my life. And so when I heard the sermon, I thought I was going to lose my soul, and I did not want to go to hell, and so that was my reason for wanting to become a Christian. I was told to be baptized into Christ. Now, mind you, I'm again with the Southwestern Book Company. I was going to a business meeting with other college students and what have you. And I thought, if I'm going to get baptized, and I just learned what baptism was that morning, and that is you get fully wet. How do I get my clothes wet and go to my meeting? For those of you that have a creative mind, I was committed to not getting my clothes wet and being baptized. I thought I was going to have to be naked in front of every one of you. No joke. I was serious. But I was committed. Thankfully for me and for everyone there at the building, I was baptized using the baptismal garments. Again, everything is brand new for me. And so I go back to college. I used to wrestle in college, and everyone's looking at me like, what in the world happened to you? My life was changed. By the grace of God, through the gospel message, Jesus, that Mike was talking about, through the precious blood and the precious promises of Jesus, I belong to his kingdom. And so growing up in the Lord's kingdom was very different than the way I lived my life. I was about 21 years old when I became a Christian. And so the avenue of sharing God's word, which I would say 1989, 1991, I was preaching full time. So 2 years in the Lord, I knew nothing, and why any church wanted me to work with them full time was beyond my understanding. But God works in mysterious ways, right? And that's what brings me to here. And so over the years, in sharing God's word, I've done it a little differently than what you might hear. I don't have 100 passages of scripture each sermon. There are times when it may just be anywhere from 1 to 2 or 3 passages, sometimes 20 or 30, depends on the context. What I want is for the passages that I give to you, particularly when there are less passages, that you realize I'm camping out and doing deep dives. because I want you to understand the context of the passage because of the message that I want to deliver. And so that will be the case throughout this week. And the other thing I need for you to know is, you know, because I'm not raised in the church, I'm not always brought up in the same way of thinking that you who has been brought up in the church may think. Don't mistake that difference for me not knowing Scripture or you not knowing Scripture from my vantage point. That's just the way things are. The more you get out of, whether it's Limestone County or out of the South or even out of the United States, brethren think differently in different parts of the world. The Scriptures are the same. The truth is still the same. But we might have applications that look a little different, but it's still within the truth of God's Word. You might even have that here at O'Neill, right? And so I share all of that to preface before going into the lessons. And so this morning, we're going to go into a series of lessons dealing with the kingdom. And I want to start off with understanding why the kingdom of God matters to you. And it may be some points that you had not yet considered. Maybe you have. And I want to move from that to another area. And I'm dealing with this because I see this in the body of Christ. And that is to understand and appreciate the traditions that the Lord's church has, even the traditions that take place here in the United States and maybe more specifically in the South, but to contrast that with traditionalism and why that is important in the kingdom of God, to know the distinction and what Jesus had to say about that. And then appreciate that diversity that takes place within the body of Christ. Again, growing up in Hawaii, I grew up where the picture is Hawaii is not a melting pot. Hawaii is mixed salad. So take your lettuce, take your tomato, take your carrots and everything else. And that's how I grew up. Everybody with all the ethnicities, all the cultures. And we grew up and song about our differences and how we through our differences. And it's in satire, but it's a song that came out in the 70s in Hawaii. And I would sing it for you, but not what you do in church, right? So anyway, that's the first thing I was doing as a Christian. The day I became a Christian was I wanted to sing a Hawaiian song for the congregation. I go, no, we don't do that here. It's congregational singing. So I was like, all right, no Hawaiian sings, no songs. But I want you to see that this important aspect, if I can use this, does this work? Oh, I don't see it working. All right. When you look at that diversity, here we go. Is that the top one? Oh, okay, no, I was thinking the laser is what I was wanting. Is the top one the laser? Yes. Okay, it's got to be somewhere else where the receiver gets it. All right, and so I wanted to have that aspect of diversity because that's the kingdom of God. And when we look at the book of Revelation, particularly chapter 19, we'll see the importance of that aspect of the kingdom of God. And then for Tuesday and Wednesday night, we're going to go into the access to the kingdom of God and how important that is. We'll look at Matthew chapter 22 on the marriage feast of the Lord and the importance of that. And then kingdom living, which is what Mike was talking about in the Bible class if you were here this morning. And so that's what we'll finish off these lessons with. Anything that's being preached, my goal as anyone that stands up teaching God's word, whether in the pulpit or in Bible studies, or in conversations, is for it to be transformative. I do not want to feed you information for the sake of information. My goal is for your heart to be pricked, and hopefully pricked in a positive way, in a way that transforms your life to the cause of Jesus Christ. And one last note, and then we'll get into the sermon. So our family, I've got 7 kids. Again, Allie and Dusty are here with baby Sonny this morning. I've got three of them that are married. 7 kids, 3 married, 4 at home. We got 2 teenagers at home and then 2 little young ones, 12 and 9. So they kind of make up the rear of the Davis Nation. And with this family, we've got lots of activity that's going on. And so there are commitments taking place in Tennessee. And that's the reason why they are not here with us. We will bring our 2 daughters. I'll get my wife and my 2 daughters, and we'll bring them here, and they'll be here for Tuesday and Wednesday night. So hopefully you'll get a chance to meet them. Hold them down. Get to know them. You probably know Julie already. If you don't, then get to know my beautiful bride and then our daughters. They're going to be shy. Don't let that stop you from getting to know them. All right? All right. So with the kingdom of God and what matters to you, we just had Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10 written for us. And we're going to get to Isaiah 9 in just a second this morning. But I want you to focus on why does the kingdom of God matter? Not the fact that you know what the kingdom of God is. But let it be known that when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about God's people for all time. We're not just limited to the Lord's church concept of from the cross forward, but for God's people for all time. And what we are looking primarily with this lesson is the contrast between kingdoms. The kingdoms of men as well as the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to go to the text, but you can open, if you want, your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. Read verses 1 through 14, particularly verses 15 through 17. I have verse 17 marked up here. But what you are seeing in Daniel's writing there, in the that Daniel has, is the vision of these four beasts. And with these four beasts that Daniel sees, he's wondering, what is this about? And the angel goes to him and in verse 15 says to him, let me explain to you. These four beasts are four kingdoms. But the very last one is a contrast to the kingdoms of men. Right? Not just the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Medes and Persians or the Grecians, right? Or the Romans. We're talking about the one kingdom. The one that is built without hands. The one that is everlasting. And we're going to see that contrast. And if you are a good, all of you are, you read all the scriptures, right? Because 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us what? All scripture is inspired. And it's profitable for what? For among other things of rebuking and for correction, it's for teaching. And that's what, when we look at all scripture, helps us to understand the cross of Jesus, the kingdom of Jesus. And so it behooves us to know that these passages are very important to what we are talking about this morning. And then Isaiah chapter 11. I want to pick up here in the text here. So I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 11. I'm going to read the text here and get us started. And I want you to focus in on that going on in Isaiah 11. And I even want you to start to think about what's going on in our world today. All right? So Isaiah chapter 11, we're going to pick up in the first verse. And I want you to compare what's going on in Isaiah 11 with the world events. It says here, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord, as was read this morning, shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. This is the contrast with the kingdoms of men. Nor does he decide by the hearing of his ears. No, instead, with righteousness, he judges the poor. And he decides with equity for the meek of the earth. This is the way the kingdom of the Lord is in contrast to the kingdoms of men. And so, here's what I want you to see. This is taken from, 2 days ago in Ukraine. It's one of the places I went to. In fact, I went to preach in Mariupol back in 2004. And I'm devastated because I have no contact with our brethren in Mariupol, Ukraine. Our translator, her name is Vera, she is now in Germany with her cousin and her cousin's nephew. Do you get that? These families have been separated within the families from each other. That's what happens. Regardless of all the reasons, regardless of who's right, who's wrong, this is a reality that goes on. And by the way, this is what's making the news today, but there's a whole lot of other wars, even at the smallest level. Whether in tribes, local governments, regions, civil, or international. This is what goes on every single day for hundreds of years. I'm tired of the kingdoms of men. I really am. You know, we talk about wanting to have peace, but we'll, and I'll get to this in one of the later sermons, but one of the things is the Lord's church should be able to do is to contrast the kingdoms of men where there is no civil war within the body of Christ. There's a difference between standing for truth and shooting each other. And so these are the things that we must look at if we're going to stand out as a kingdom that is attractive to people in the world like myself. Think about this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 tells us the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some are made from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is the way the kingdom of the world works. I just want money. With money comes power. And sometimes if I don't get my power, resort to the previous slide. We go to war. That's what happens in the kingdoms of men. We have the mindset in the kingdoms of this world that the only way that I can get forward in life is if I step on you. And I can get ahead of you so that I get mine. And this is what goes on every day in societies, right? You don't get anywhere without stepping on some people. Isaiah chapter 10, in fact, just going back one chapter, he says in verses 1 through 3, "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people. What will you do in the day of punishment and in the desolation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee or for help? And where will you leave your glory?" This is the picture of what's going on. The Israelites, particularly Judah, who Isaiah is preaching to, the reason why they're in this conundrum with God is because the leaders in Judah were stepping on those without power. If you read all the writings of the prophets, the major and minor prophets, you read 1st, 2nd Samuel, you read 1st and 2nd Kings, you read 1st and 2nd Chronicles. In fact, you go all the way back to Judges and look at the way the kingdom of God among men ruled. And oftentimes what you will see is injustice. Aside from idolatry, injustice was the number one thing mentioned. They go together. The first commandment is what? You shall have no other gods before me. Right? Make no idols, have no other gods before me. And look at the rest of the commandments. It deals with justice issues. About honoring your father and mother. About not lying. Not cheating. Not committing adultery. All these things. Not bearing false witness. These are the things that talk about the kingdom of God in such a manner that there's justice. But with the kingdoms of men, that goes out the window. Who's in charge? And those who are in charge want to stay in charge, and they'll do everything to remain in charge so that they can have the means of wealth, the means of power. That's just the way life is. It's terrible, but it's that way. All right? So that's what we're talking about. In fact, what's interesting is the World at War in 2021, this came out in the end of July of last year, and this area has, well, see if I can... I still don't get that. Oh, there we go. I see it. All right. So when you talk about what's going on here in this part of the world where Europe meets Asia, where Ukraine is, all these areas, that and everywhere else, is the areas of red where war took place in 2021, the first 6 months, first 7 months. That's staggering. And so, again, this is the way the world or the kingdoms of men work. What we are wanting to do is focus in on the kingdom of God. How does the kingdom of God work? What does it look like? How does it affect you? And why does it matter to you here at O'Neill? Right? So that's what we're looking at. So in Isaiah 9, in contrast to the kingdoms of men, is this beautiful picture, particularly in verse 6, that says, "Unto us a child is born." In contrast to the way the kingdoms of men are, right? "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And when you take on a Canaanite, Gentile type mindset where the gods ruled over them, and some of those gods were the kings. Well, here's a contrast. And whether it was Hezekiah, the one that this might be some partial fulfillment before we talk about the Messiah coming, the reality was Ahaz and many of the kings before him, whether it be through Judah or the northern kingdom of Israel, those kings ruled terribly. Terribly. God's people ruling terribly. And the hope from the judgment that is coming upon them, that is on the heels of that judgment, is the hope that comes through this messianic text. There's going to be a king. And this king is going to rule unlike the rulership of men. So there's hope for us small people. There's hope because we don't want to live in a kingdom where we tear each other down, where the poor, the weak, have no voice. And talk about the blood, Mike, coming up from the ground, whether it's Abel's blood or the blood of Jesus. This is the blood that cries out every day, even for people who are not yet shed physically, but are living in such grave fear of their lives. Just take the news. Thousands are being arrested just for speaking out and having a voice of dissonance against something that they believe to be unjust or unjust. Right? Hope is right around the corner, is what Isaiah the prophet is saying. And so, in the text here, this is the picture that is in contrast, and I want to focus in on verses 3 through 5 so you get the picture of what we are talking about here in Isaiah. Go back to the text. It was already read for us, but I want to focus in on this. And sometimes this passage might have this futuristic look, but it's a picture of what the kingdom is likened unto. So notice, if you go to the text here in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 3 following, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. It is with righteousness that he judges the poor. Right? His idea of kingship is just and right. That is the way we are ruled. You don't have to worry about if you're lying, deceiving, the king knows. And it doesn't matter if on the other end you have all the money in the world that you can bribe the judge, because he knows. There's no bribe, there's no strong arming. The king will rule righteously. That's the kingdom that we're talking about in the kingdom of our Lord. That should matter to you. Or how about this? In verses 6 and 7, look at the text here. I love the text here, right? Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with a young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. What you should have in your mind, brethren, is this. In Genesis chapter 1, if you remember, God created everything in chapter 1, and here's what he told the animals to eat. I want you to eat all of the green that is in the fields. And he told man, you can read it in verse 30-31, I want you to eat of every green thing that has seed in it. Let that sink in. Animals are not eating animals as yet. Man is not eating animals as yet. There is no fear that the animals have of man as yet. In fact, the transition takes place after not only sin is in this world, but particularly in Genesis chapter 9, after Noah gets off the boat, and God says, all right, remember what I told you before? Now you can eat all the clean animals. Just don't take of the blood, because life and the fear of every animal shall be upon you. Had been so full of sin, God brought in a new structure where we live in a life that while the flood might have taken place and while judgment might have taken place and while there may be a sense of a new beginning, there's always a reminder that sin, because of Genesis chapter 3, had taken place and the kingdoms of men would show us the true colors. Notice Noah, a man that had the grace of God. And the very first story after he gets off the boat is what? He goes off and he gets drunk. Sin. It's always there. Every new beginning. After God saves Israel from Egypt, and they start off new in the promised land, after taking Jericho, the very first thing after that is Ai. And what happens? Sin. From the people of God in the promised land. Greed takes place. Hatred takes place. Wars take place. But not in the kingdom the way God meant for it to be. That picture right there is a picture of what the kingdom's supposed to be like. And we will see that at the very end when the Lord returns and has his kingdom. It will be a kingdom that reflects that picture right there. Whether you take that literally or metaphorically, that's the picture. Romans 15 tells us, brethren, we then who are strong, instead of stepping on the weak, what shall we do? Bear with the weak, right? Look at Romans 15. And I love the text here because this is the way the kingdom should be lived. And I know there's going to be more passages that we can look at, but get this picture. In contrast to wars, in contrast to stepping on each other, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. And even as Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And what does it look like? We glorify God together. We help each other. We don't step on each other. We hold each other's hands. That's the picture of this kingdom. And I'm going to allude to these texts here, but in Matthew chapter 5, all of Matthew chapter 5, from the Beatitudes, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, this is what the citizens of the kingdom do, right? You heard eye for eye, here's what I'm telling you, to do. You love, Matthew chapter 6, here's what love really looks like, not like the kingdoms of men. 1 Peter chapter 2, again, Mike was referring to this text this morning. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Live like it. That's the picture of what citizens in the kingdom do. Brethren, I personally, as much as it can be encouraging for me to see you here at this building and us worshiping God and lifting our voices in song to our God, it would mean nothing to me if we're not living this way out in the world when we leave this building. Truly doesn't. All it is a facade. If all we do is come and we look good, we look nice and sharp. Multiple microphones, that's pretty cool. You look good for everyone, but your heart is full of darkness. It means nothing to God. It means nothing to the people of the world that we should be sharing Jesus with and sharing them the attractive, beautiful kingdom of God. That's why the kingdom matters to you. Because if you just look good at a building for a couple of hours, but then your life is full of darkness, then does the kingdom matter to you? If you don't get your way, does the kingdom matter to you? How did Jesus handle living in the kingdom? Those are the things that we'll be looking at as we go along with the series. So I'm not going so far into this just yet. Just to conclude, the words of Joshua should ring today as it did for him back then. When he says, as for me and for my house, here's what we're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. And it'll look very extensive and not limited to building, but to the kingdom. Within the kingdom. Looking outside the kingdom so that we can snatch those who are going to be judged eternally. It's true that the Lord's church will be judged. We will see that in Matthew 22 when we get to that lesson come Tuesday night. But I want you to see that for those that live in the kingdom according to the King, where we live righteously and justly, salvation. It's beautiful. It's encouraging. It's hopeful. And that's my hope for us as we start off this series. And I'm looking forward to sharing these things with you as we go further on. Right now, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. I want you to focus in on what the kingdom is like and why Jesus died for the very kingdom that he's setting up, right? We are told that passage in the previous slide in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, right? When we talk about the Lord's, in which it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That the way he rules in heaven, we who are dominioneers on planet earth, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28. We have been given this dominion. Live like the one who rules from heaven. Give that template to his people that we reflect the very image of God that we've been created to reflect. Then we partake in the worthy manner for those that are in this kingdom. If you hear this morning, you're listening to this message, I want it to be known. I don't think this happens in Limestone County as often as maybe it did elsewhere in the country, but you might not know who Jesus is. I want to share Jesus with you. I want you to know why those who hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ and those who believe that he is the Christ, those who confess him as the Christ, those who are willing to change the way they're currently living to his way of living in the kingdom are those who have the crown of life. And I pray that that's a message that is attractive to you. And I want to share that with you. Maybe if you're ready right now and knowing what to do, you'll come forward. You'll want to be baptized into Christ, have your sins washed away. Praise God if that's the case. Brethren, if you need prayers, take advantage of the time. Look at how many wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ are here this morning. We get to pray for each other. That's a beautiful invitation that is being offered to you as together we stand.